Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Blinds galore. Oh, your home reflects your personality. Let's make it look like you're smart, people, at blindsgalore.com. They believe you deserve custom-built quality blinds and shades that bring out your style. I have them in my master bedroom. I have them in my office. I have them at my work. I have them in my edit bays. I have them everywhere. Over 2 million windows and counting, hand-built from scratch, delivered right to your door. They work every time, and they will help from measuring to picking out the perfect window covering to installing. It's all done. It all can be done over the phone. It could all be done online. They'll send out samples, I think up to 15 different samples. They have a new build a blind tool, makes it even easier. If you want some free samples and you want to take care of that problem right now, you go with Blinds Galore, right, Dawson?
It's easy to get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home at Blinds Galore. Go check out blindsgalore.com and let them know Adam sent you. That's blindsgalore.com.
Carolla Drinks proudly presents Adam's Monthly Nut.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
This month's shipment includes a collection of all 32 Banks Bracket Madness songs, a custom spice blend from Gina Grad herself, a signed copy of one of Adam's favorite movies of all time, Defending Your Life, plus a bottle from Carolla Drinks. Sign up today for $25 and get 1 month, or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. This set of sounds of the 70s on the Toolbox, brought to you by Bob's Bar and Grill on East Fairmont Avenue in Lakewood, where tonight is ladies' night. Tonight only, ladies pay 80 cents on the dollar and no cover charge until 10 p.m. So get there early and cut up the dance floor with all your girlfriends to the spinning beats of DJ Wood. Hey, the Royal Baby has a name. So we got a Royal Rock Block of the Buckinghams, Queen, and the Archies. And at 3 o'clock, we'll play Meghan Markle's Father's Trivia. But don't worry, they're all questions about diabetes. Brought to you by Quaker Oats. Quaker reminds you that Wilford Brimley is still alive. Ladies' night. One barrage of bad wordplay deserves another. So here's Tavares on the Toolbox.
Heaven must be missing an angel. Missing one angel, child, cause you're here with me right now.
Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and producer Todd Garner calls in to play the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, get Garrigus on the phone. We're suing Conan O'Brien for stealing this intro joke. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for sharing. Hit that little share button on your phone and let a loved one hear about this show or whatever that button is.
You must have just learned about the show.
Must have just learned about it. I never even saw it. I never even listened to podcasts.
Just airdrop
before.
It to strangers.
Yeah.
You're on the bus at the airport.
You got an AOC account. Oh, let's see. That's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Right.
What was that, AOC?
No.
But there was an account, right?
I don't know what that is.
What is the AO? Let's see.
AOL?
I'll figure it out. Well, there you go.
That's
AOL.
All right.
Yeah.
That's I used to know what account you meant, but I
didn't. Account. I mean AO.
Oh, like an AOL account.
AOL.
Oh, okay.
That's my AOC joke.
And Ross.
AOC at AOL.com.
Oh, did it land?
Yeah.
But AOL is an outdated thing.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going with your joke on that outdated thing.
Yeah.
I got the AO.
Yeah. It's great.
Okay.
Get it on. Got to get it on.
At some point when I go, what starts with AO? And everyone looks at me like, I don't know.
I got AOL. I wasn't there yet.
Yeah. AOL was popular, though, right?
Yes, it was. Very popular.
Okay. Very. Dominant.
And now AOC's popular. Yeah. That's outdated.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, we're back.
There's my joke. Thank you. Hey, Gina, how you doing?
Great.
And Bald Brian.
Hey, boss.
All right. I got stuff. Man, lots of stuff. This half of the show brought to you by blindsgalore.com and stamps.com. Enter Adam. Castrol Edge, titanium strong, maximum energy performance. All right. I'll tell you something funny. I like... It's interesting examining my family and how life works.
And how.
Much of life can be kind of figured out by the dog. You know, I have a dog, and my dog is not smart or dumb. My dog is either smart or dumb, depending on what the motives are.
Right.
Yeah, I look at all of people sort of through the eyes of my dog. Because my dog... It's just distilled down. My kids are just distilled down. They're just like little bouillon cubes of people. You know, they're everyone at their worst.
Yeah,
they're everything at their worst. And so when you're thinking like, how do we get this homeless population? Mm-hmm. Or how do we get these folks that are just hammering welfare mm-hmm. checks? Or how do we get these folks that are always on the grift? That's what your kids are. That's what your dog is. They're like living with grifter. They're like part grifter, mm-hmm. part homeless population, part junkie, part gypsy, nomadic. Look, every impulse is to not do anything.
Sure. The dog doesn't think of society. Dog wants to nap, or dog wants to eat, or dog wants to hunt. I don't know. But like it's always going after its impulses.
Right. So what do we do with this beast that we live with that it just wants to eat? It just wants to shit wherever it mm-hmm. wants to mm-hmm. shit. It wants to lay around. It wants to chew curtains or furniture or throw pillows. Like, everything it wants to do is just sort of wrong, but that's what it wants to do. And that's what kids are, mm-hmm. essentially. Kids don't want to go to school. They don't want to do homework. They don't want to clean up. They don't want
vegetables.
They don't want to, everything they don't want to do. So we go, okay, that's a given. That's where we all start out.
Sure.
Now, how do we craft a society where we get these people to do what we want them to do? Well, we go, recycle. It's the right thing to do. And it's like, all right, I don't give a shit. Okay. All right.
Next.
So there's cans and bottles everywhere. Yeah. What have we made? Each can and each bottle worth a nickel. Okay. Well, then everyone would walk around and pick
up
the cans and bottles. And now you think about it, like as a kid, remember like, he stepped in broken glass. Mm-hmm. Like, broken glass.
Yeah.
He cut himself on a...
When was the last time that happened?
He blew out his flip-flop on a pop-top.
There was had to cruise on back home.
That's right. There's so much of that. Look, we live in... I live in a neighborhood. We work in a neighborhood, I should say, that is filled with construction debris and mattresses because if you go to the back street, there's a bunch of toilets and mattresses and construction debris because they don't pay you to bring that in. They charge you to bring that in. But in amongst all of that, not one aluminum can. Mm-hmm. You don't think someone's drinking a beer while they're throwing... By the way, these are people who have no difficulty with littering. They're dumping stucco and toilets out onto the street. You don't think those guys would chuck a couple of their Coke cans over the edge of the pickup truck, too? Mm-hmm. You go up and down the street, no cans.
Right.
Everything else, all Starbucks containers and garbage and anything else, but not to something that's worth something.
Right.
Okay. So we're starting to establish something here. Maybe we can get people to do what we want. Now, they're not going to do the right thing. Nobody does the right thing except for me. How are we going to incentivize these people to do the right thing? And that's what I've learned. So everything you've learned, you just pretty much can learn from your dog. And if you do with your dog... like we've done with our dog.
Like Olga does with your dog.
I was going to say.
Well, now here's the thing. Lynette's not done any training of the dog. I've not done any training of the dog. And thus, the dog does whatever the dog wants to do all the time. And we're sort of victims of that because we never took the time to really make the dog do what the dog should do. We got it kind of going to the bathroom and sort of the right place now. But so when I come home, Lynette is throwing the football to Sonny in the backyard, and Phil is inside of the house, and he's like smacking his paw on the glass door, and he's whimpering, you know. He wants out.
He wants some of that.
But he can't come out, because if he comes out, he'll get hold of that football. Mm-hmm. And if he gets hold of that football, he can put a volleyball or soccer ball in his mouth. And he doesn't
unhinge his jaw.
He's good enough that he can grab a soccer ball. He can run with it, and he'll just pop it while he's running with it. Anything that makes it to the ground, he does. Now, I let Phil come out when I play catch with Sonny, because I'm like, you better be good then, boy. Like, that ball better not hit the ground. If it hits the ground, you better fight for that ball, because Phil...
loose ball drill.
Yeah, Phil will come at you.
He's doing loose ball drills of Phil.
Right, and I tried it. Like, we tried it with... Natalia and I were in the backyard, and I just got the fake sod put down. So we're up there breaking it in, and she was teaching me how to play volleyball the other day. And we put Phil in, like, sort of, Phil wanted out, but we put him in like the dog run where there's like a little cage, there's a little gate, and he was looking at it, and he was staying there, and we were hitting the ball back and forth, and he was like whimpering, like he wants out. He wants to be with us, you know. So Natalia does this move where she's like, I'll let him out. And then like he comes out and she's like holding the ball and she's like yelling no at him as loud as she can. And she like puts the ball down and she's like, Phil, no. And Phil just grabs the ball and takes off. Like he did
valiant
nothing.
Effort.
Put him right back in his cage. Anyway, interesting. So I get home yesterday. These guys are playing. I go outside. I'm like, yeah, let Phil out. I feel so bad. He's sitting there. He wants to be a part of this, but they don't want him to be a part of it because he's going to pop the ball if the ball hits the ground. And at some
work
point,
on those hands, son.
There's a funny move. I'm just watching him sort of debate. Well, put him in the dog run or leave him inside or don't let him outside or don't drop the ball. And we're going all negotiating, going all these different possibilities. And at some point, Sonny says, oh, here's what we'll do. We'll throw the ball, and if Phil gets it, we'll yell Olga, and he'll drop it.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And then I think that was Lynette's idea, and then Sonny went, no, Phil knows Olga's not here.
Oh, that's look in the mirror time.
Wow.
That's look in the mirror time.
We've been outsmarted by this dog.
You are his minions. You do his bidding.
Wow.
She literally, he will listen to Olga, but you can only call that bluff so many times.
The third time
you call and Olga doesn't come out, Phil wises up. So Phil has figured out this ruse, and he's essentially trained us. And
wow. Yeah, Olga's a safe word.
And it's like Phil knows Olga's not wandering around the house. She's at the supermarket.
Genius.
And it's not going to work. But I just thought it was a very funny illustration of how you can train or not train.
Or be trained.
Or be trained. Or who they'll listen to or who they won't listen to. It'll all be up to you.
Yeah.
And somehow we've crafted a world where the dog listens to the Guatemalan lady who I pay to be in our kitchen and not to anybody else.
Wow.
In the house.
That's
all right. I have a. We got a call I want to get into. I just thought that was a funny story.
Sad.
Tyra Banks is redefining beauty.
Oh, again?
Now, I don't know if we have. She's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Okay, let me explain something, the redefinition of beauty. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, Margaret Cho or Lena Dunham is going to try to redefine what beauty is, which works on two segments of the populace, chicks and gay guys. But it doesn't work on straight dudes.
We're missing a component.
Who like good-looking chicks.
We're still into beauty.
We're still into beauty. So it's hard to redefine it for us.
Right.
And then there's Tyra Banks, who's redefining beauty, although I'm not sure why. She's got blue eyes. She has like that narrow chin. She's got an ample bosom. She's long and caramel colored and is the definition of beauty.
Yeah.
This notion of like, well, you got to be the right skin tone. I don't know why we're still getting into that.
Yeah, she's objectively beautiful.
She can check all the boxes for beauty, and every white guy I know would rather be with Tyra Banks than Lena Dunham.
I don't. Oh, you're right.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's true.
Of course.
Because we like beauty.
She's gorgeous.
And you can't redefine it for us.
Yeah. Just is.
I would say it's an impossibility to redefine beauty. I'm not sure even what your plan is when you say I'm redefining beauty. I do not know anybody whose definition of beauty or what they're attracted to could be redefined by anybody.
Beauty, it's funny because the definition, like the standards of beauty shift slightly. Like remember when like Kate Moss and it was like heroin chic in the 90s, like a real skinny was in, but she was still an objectively beautiful woman. Like she was a model. She happened to be very thin and that was popular, and it shifted away from that, but it's not redefining. It's just kind of shifting a little bit.
If you'd like to redefine beauty by shaving a couple of pounds, I might go with you down that road. If you want to add 40, good luck to you. So anyway, Tyra's now spelling her name with an X.
Yeah, she's...
I mean, Banks.
What? She's
Banks.
She's just Banks. B-A-N, capital X.
Jesus.
Brian, you remember many years ago when I would explain what a colossal narcissist Tyra Banks was?
But it's come up more than once.
It kind of flies under the radar. Like, people don't really know it or see it or call it out.
This is it.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to hear what she thinks
about it?
She's
doing Banks instead of KS.
Yeah.
She's doing X.
Yeah, just X.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, as much as we've progressed with beauty, there's still a long way to go of opening up the door and redefining what it means. And so that X stands for X, what you heard about beauty.
Okay. I always love.
We are making a new rule.
We've got a long way to go in terms of. Yeah, you want to know how long? Forever. Forever. That's how long, because it's undoable.
She's the rare female blowhard.
Yeah, she's super blowhard.
She's very in love with her ideas.
Mm-hmm,
yeah, she says, we're making the new rule that so many more people can fit into this beauty box. Let's bust the box open.
Well, speaking of bust, you got to have a D cup, and you got to be narrow around the waist, and you have to have a very defined jawline and piercing blue eyes. And then we can redefine it.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. It's also, do you guys find it utterly nauseating that people are just... born hot, like hot by their 14th birthday, hot, are going to just sit down and lecture the world what the last 30 years of being hot is like for them. What is that? I mean, I don't think we would tolerate it if Brad Pitt or Hemsworth, Liam Hemsworth.
Any Hemsworth.
I think we'd tolerate a really good-looking dude who is just all tricep and no waist and cleft and shit. I don't know, would we explain what George Clooney, like if George Clooney was like, I'm going to really sit down and talk to you about conventional beauty and stereotypical thought. I'd go, shut up, douche, you're hot. Let Danny DeVito chime in.
You know what? I'm gonna give you what I think is an answer to this.
We would yell at those guys, right?
No.
Like, if Chris Hemsworth for a second was going to sit down and school us up on what it was like, what beauty really was.
10 years ago, yes. But here's my thinking when you say that. This is we're in the era of the ally. We're in the era of people saying it's not enough for the person who feels oppressed to speak out. People have to speak out on their behalf. This is Tyra speaking out on behalf of ugly people.
Okay.
Which is blowhardy and condescending.
So she was ahead
of
the curve.
I'm trying to answer your question.
She was out of the curve for 20 years.
Right.
I want to speak on behalf of unfunny people who don't do a podcast.
Okay.
And then guys
who have no
carpentry skills. Max Pata?
They thank you for that.
Do you have any carpentry skills?
No, you're speaking.
All right, well, this is for you. This is for you.
The voiceless.
The voiceless.
Turn your mic off. The voiceless.
And the cordlessness drill-less. Sorry. These are for all the forgotten men out there who have no skills in the carpentry game. I speak for them.
Oh, well.
I'm a journeyman carpenter. You want to ask me about layout? You want to ask me about framing?
Yeah, all of
ask
it.
Me what a Tico clip is.
What's a Tico clip?
Oh, you mean an A35?
Yeah, my mistake.
Max Pata, did you know what a Tico clip was?
No idea.
All right. So I'll speak out on your behalf.
You're his advocate in this case.
You're welcome, Chris.
You know what a cross cut versus a rip is? You know what a dado is versus a rabbit joint?
No, you don't. No.
But I do.
Yeah.
Because I'm better than you. So I'll speak for you. You're voiceless. As a matter of fact, don't use your voice anymore. Nod or shake it off. You know what a king stud is? No, you don't. Do you know what a trimmer is? No. Treated, pressure treated, womanized, bottom plate? No?
All no.
16 penny sinker?
I'm going to guess the answer is no to all
eight penny sinker? What about a ring shank nail? Come on now. No? Oh my God, it's worse than I thought. Thank God I'm here to speak on your behalf.
Hero.
You know the nailing schedule on Shearwall. Do you even know what Shearwall is? Do you know what half-inch CDX Rec 1 ply is?
Well, yeah,
you know what direction to face it when you do it? What about vapor barriers?
Chris is going to file for disability next.
You don't know, do you, sweetheart? Well, then you just shut your mouth, and I, who do know, because I was born with this knowledge.
You're redefining carpentry.
Yes.
I'm going to redefine it, and I'm going to speak out for all those who are ham-handed and not good in the garage. And I'll redefine carpentry for them, because that's what I know.
Advocate for the community.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So not only am I a journeyman carpenter, but I should be admired for being the voice of the voiceless of men who could not put in a light bulb or take two pieces of wood and put them together.
You give voice to that voice.
What's the difference between construction adhesive and subfloor adhesive? Please use your voice.
Subfloor adhesive should be used for flooring. Construction adhesive is a little more general.
Well, there you go.
Wow, see, he's learning fast.
And perhaps it was in me giving you a voice over these last 4 minutes.
It was.
Where you gained that knowledge.
You've inspired me.
Are you inspired?
Yes.
I'd like to find a new generation of dopes who didn't know anything around the house to be inspired.
Yeah, I didn't know that answer 20 seconds ago.
From my voice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're healing the world.
They didn't know it was possible.
I'm not a traditional carpenter, and I think a lot of people think, well, that guy doesn't look or sound like my old man Walt, who used to work over at the lumber yard, but I'm a new voice for a new generation of carpenters, and I'd like to lift them up.
A lot of young men didn't know it was possible. You know, they just thought it wasn't for them.
Well, they grew up, and they didn't see people that look like them, and they didn't hear voices that sounded like them.
That's so that's for other people.
They didn't know it was possible to be a roofer. But now,
you're here to tell them.
So I've lent my voice to this fight.
Yeah.
It's a fight.
It is.
We're under attack.
It's a war against.
We made a lot of progress, but there's a long way to go.
Max Spana.
I'm enlightened. I'm inspired.
Mm-hmm.
And all I have to say is thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Vapor barrier versus radiant barrier. Could you define those?
No, I couldn't.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I can't. And I'm a fucking hero. Adam X. Let's see.
Adam Carolix.
Carolix, yeah.
All right, so Malcolm Tyra Banks. What else does the article go on to say? Sorry.
Let's see here. Banks also offered what would be her advice now that her younger self.
By the way, does anyone find it obnoxious? She's just wearing a string bikini and standing in the middle of the Caribbean Sea, and she's going to give us lectures about what's hot.
Brian's fine with it.
Yeah.
All right. There's a layout. What's she doing?
She says, "I would say this is her advice to her younger self on the cover. I would say, Tyra, I know you're really, really driven, but you sit your ass down," she said. "Sit down, take some time, go to the spa. No, Brian. Chill at the movies with your friends. Don't just run in and out. Success is important, but also so is the balance of taking it all in."
Oh,
there you go.
It's deep. I'm not sure what that was.
I'm not sure either. Yeah. Something about going to the spa.
She's talking to herself?
Yeah.
All right. Can we just stop all this? These are adults. It's just a 45-year-old woman. Yeah. What are you talking this way at 45 for? I'm dumbfounded that, like, this is a middle-aged woman. She looks pretty good. She does. But look, if she's going to live a second under 90, then she's middle. She's at the halfway point. Why is she speaking this way?
Well, it's like you said the other day that everything's catered to a 13-year-old. Well, this is perfect for a 13-year-old.
I guess so. All right. Let's see. Casey from Portland plays in a cover band. Got a complaint over one of his song choices. Do that in 1 second. First, let me hit Blinds Galore. Your home reflects your personality. BlindsGalore.com believes you deserve custom-built quality blinds and shades that bring out your style. Over 2 million windows and counting, hand-built from scratch, delivered right to your door. From measuring, picking out the perfect window covering, and installing it, their experts will guide you every step of the way online or over the phone. And they have a new Build-A-Blind tool. Makes things easier. I have it in my house. I have the battery-operated ones, but the batteries are rechargeable and they last like a whole year. It really works with a remote. Anyway, you create customized window treatments, and you get exactly what you want. You get 15 free samples sent to you today. I have them in the office. I have them in the edit bay. We have them everywhere. It's blinds galore, right, Dawson?
It's easy to get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home with Blinds Galore. Go check out blindsgalore.com and let them know Adam sent you. That's blindsgalore.com.
Right. Let's see. We got the Rotten Tomatoes game coming up. We got KC from Portland.
Yeah, how's it going, man?
What's going on? You're in a cover band?
I am. We had a gig this weekend. Do you mind if I say the name of the band real quick?
No, go ahead.
We're called Counterfeit Hits. We're in Portland, Oregon. If anybody needs a band for a wedding, cover band,
private gig, we can name it out.
I like the name.
I like that. That's a great name.
So what's give us your set list? Give us five big ones you do. Crowd pleasers.
Moves like Jagger. I'm sorry, but we do the one you hate, Adam, the Uptown Funk.
Of course.
We do Billie Jean, and by the way, everybody's thinking we should scratch it from the list.
No.
We got everybody on the dance floor, so yeah. I don't know. That documentary may not have done as much as we think to the song.
It doesn't. You know why? It's like Tyra Banks. It's like it's on behalf of everyone. Like anytime you talk to someone, they go, "I'd pull it off the set list. I like the song. I don't care."
Yeah.
But other people are gonna. There's a ton of that going on, and then you can't find the other people who would be upset by
the silent masses.
Thus, they all come out on the dance floor. But go ahead, Casey. Sorry.
Right. So anyways, we have this gig last weekend. Sorry, I'm a little nervous, guys, but it's called a Wicked Wine Run. So basically, it's at a winery. It's like the Napa Valley of Oregon for us. And it's all 20 and 30-year-old hot runner chicks drinking wine and having fun running a 5K. So
in the Willamette Valley?
I'm sorry?
In the Willamette Valley?
Yes, exactly.
There you go.
Yeah, it's really nice up here. So anyways, we're playing our songs, and the dance floor hasn't really hit it yet, but there's people kind of on the outskirts dancing and watching, and there's definitely, you know, a vibe going. We start playing Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke, and, you know, we all know that song.
Sure.
If anybody knows the song, it's kind of like talking about blurring the lines of a relationship so you can kind of get away with cheating or, you know, blurring that line. So this girl runs up to, well, not runs, she walks briskly at the stage with a piece of paper in her hand mid-song, and I'm thinking she's going to give us a request for the next song she wants us to play or whatever. She slams it on the stage. She starts walking backwards and flips us the double bird as she's angrily walking backwards in the middle of all these people. And, of course, we're playing the song, so we can't read what it says.
How old would you reckon this girl is?
25.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So at the end of the set, actually, a few more songs went by, and at the end of the set, we pick up the piece of paper, and it reads, "Blurred Lines justifies rape and sexual assault.
Oh, my.
Shame on you.
Justifies.
Shame on you."
Oh, there it is. Wow.
It's written on a napkin. Obviously, it's written hastily.
Signed by a victim.
Signed by a victim. I know I'm a broken record here. This is a young woman who lives in the United States. And I don't think she's happy because she went to a wine event and in the middle she was triggered in the middle of this wine event where everyone's having a good time and you're singing a fun pop song. And she had to go find a napkin, get her pen out, scrawl this thing down, march to the front of the stage and slap it down, shoot you the bird and leave. This cannot be a happy person.
Her life must be miserable.
It is. And so when I hear all the politicians talking about how everyone's a victim, there's a larger and larger pool of these people that you're creating. And I know they're good for votes, but what about them? Yeah. What about what's in their head? Yeah. If my daughter's 12 years away from being this age, I would kill myself if that's how she was walking around. And whether it's this or it's racism or any whatever form of ism, if you're looking, you shall find. You will find it. I mean, she found it in a cover band singing a song. She found it. So she's walking around and her radar dish is spinning around constantly and she's looking for bogeys. And it doesn't matter if it's a UFO or a sparrow. It's a bogey. Like, she'll find it, right. And she'll find it, and she found you. She must find it everywhere. I'm sure there are people she works with that are miserable.
Speaking of which, that was a very, very, very popular song that was everywhere for a short period of time. Like, what happens when it comes on the radio? Does she call the station? What happens when it comes on the Grammys? Does she, like, call CBS? Like, that's a miserable existence.
It is. And
self-imposed.
Of course. And some people are tens and some people's are threes in this department. I wouldn't want my kid to be at a one. Yeah. That's my point. Stop it. Stop preaching it all the time. Work on it, fix it, but stop preaching it. And this is what drives me nuts is this chick probably listens to Alyssa Milano and they nod their head and go, I knew it. That's my beef. Mm. My beef isn't with lying. My beef isn't with statistical errors. My beef is you are trying to get people to feel this way, and it's the worst way a person could feel. Living in a society that had it out for you because you're a woman, because you're black, because you're gay, because you're whatever, is that has to be, that's all encompassing. There's no way to get away from it. It's your society. There's no mountain high enough to get away from that. So, and look, I'm sure some of this exists on some level everywhere. That doesn't mean it has to be soul-crushing and become your life.
Well, and it's one thing, and you probably wouldn't like this either, and frankly, probably neither would we, but if you're at, you know, a wine event and you're sitting there and that song comes on and for some reason, you know, it triggers you because of your experience and you lean to your friend, you're like, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I can't stand this song. It bugs me. I got to go out while this is on. But to go up and make the band the aggressor is another step.
We've empowered these people. Yes.
Yes, Casey.
Sorry to interrupt, but her boyfriend was there and he did not stop her.
Oh, no.
I mean, people have their idiosyncrasies, and it's just like, you know what? There's something about this. It bothers me. I know it sounds silly. I'll be back in 3 minutes. Sorry. But to bring it to you just doesn't really add up.
I was going to say, like, if she's a victim of sexual assault or rape, that's a horrible thing.
Of course.
But the reaction is so out of line.
Yeah.
With that, you know, with what it should
be. Well, there is good rape, isn't there, Gina?
Rape gone right.
Rape gone wrong and rape gone right.
So, Brian, I don't want to disagree with you, but not all rape, according to Gina.
Maybe that was the one that went right.
I'm so glad I've never been misquoted. It's very important.
I heard. Can we get the tape?
All right. Hey, thanks, Casey.
Thank you. Do you mind if I plug a date real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
For all you non-victims out there that want to actually just have a good time. Hey. And by the way, on behalf of the band, we do want to say that we feel really bad for this girl. Because like Brian said, it's got to be a miserable existence, you know. But at the same time, you guys, we can't act out like this. We've got to love each other. Take care of your own stuff. But we got a gig May 25th at Coyotes in Hillsborough. So come out and see us, please.
Counterfeit Hits.
Thanks, Casey.
International show.
Their show?
I'm sure our listeners in Stuttgart appreciate that.
Stuttgart. Todd Garner's calling in. We got Rotten Tomatoes to play.
And he is historically very good at this game.
He came out of the gate hot.
Yeah, I think he won.
Well, he's a big producer, and he's done a lot of it, produced a lot of it. He may be familiar with a lot of these films we're doing or talking about. Hey, can you find, I don't know why, I just wrote it down because it snuck into my head. Dawson, when you were doing your wonderful cold open for us, I think you brought up the Buckinghams. I think one of the Buckinghams' hits was Lies.
What's a band?
Oh, the Buckinghams is a band.
Okay.
And the Buckinghams is like a 60s band. And they had a song called Lies. They had a couple of hits. What were their hits, Dawson? Remember the Buckinghams?
They're not off the top of my head.
Their biggest song on Spotify by far is called Kind of a Drag.
Yeah. Now, see if they have Lies.
I'll look into that. But this is their best known song, at least today.
Must have been in a
kind
movie.
Kind of a drag.
Must have been a soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, I know the song.
No.
Yeah. Kind of a drag.
Is it covered?
No. I don't think. Maybe, but I'm sure everything was covered.
Are you thinking of the Knickerbockers?
Oh. Listen to this. Good harmonies. I still love you. Max Prada. You got to cover this shit.
I think I will, yeah.
Anyway. Now you got to get some guys who can sing.
Oh, yeah. This is a well-known song.
Harmonize.
anyway. And then they got like a little organ solo, so you got to find, you know, someone who can play an instrument, mm-hmm. and we bring them up on stage, you know?
A couple of go-go dancers, a feature. Too.
Yeah, feature guy.
Okay.
Like they would do with Billy Preston. I mean, not like you're the Beatles, but what I'm saying is like you would have...
Like a bad version of the Beatles.
The Battles.
Oh, not even a bad... I mean, that's not fair to the Beatles.
That's a good point.
Wow.
Yeah, it still implies some quality.
And you get that guy with the organ right here, it'll kick in. There's the corniest sounding organ solo ever in this song. You know this one, Gina?
Yeah, but I don't remember an organ solo.
Well, you're gonna now.
This is a 2-minute song and there's filler. This feels like mid 60s, 65, 66.
It's probably, yeah, in there, 66, 7, man. All right.
Wow, that was unnecessary solo.
There's 20 seconds left. I look to bring it home.
Yeah.
Did they have girls in vinyl shaking it in the background?
Oh, God. I'm sure when they get Top of the Pops, yep. there's something great. Austin Powers could have never reached this level.
Wow.
I got the Buckinghams and the Knickerbockers screwed up, but Lies... by the Knickerbockers. You know that song, Max Banner?
No, but I'm going to cover it.
Yeah, because this song
rocks. Get out in front of it, Chris.
You know, and it'd be good to mix things up with a good rockin' tune. You know, finger popping music. You're telling me
that you'll be true. Oh, you know this song. Lies, lies, that's all
I ever get from you. Tears, tears. Gotta find someone to play the guitar.
I know.
Because this is a riff. Yeah, so get a guy up there who can play. And then. Someday I'm gonna be happy, but I don't know where just now. Lies, lies, you're breaking my heart. Yeah, so you gotta get some guys to sing. That's
like a beautiful combo of the Beatles and the Stones. Like
yeah.
Early Beatles, early Stones.
The Beatles did this song.
No.
I did
sure?
a song
no.
called Lies. It's not the song.
It is famous for song. Often being mistaken for a Beatles track due to the similarity.
Well, it's like a discarded Beatles song.
Yeah. Lies, lies. Now, Maxipana, there's a part you can do in this song. Because he goes like, lies. And the guy goes, yeah, baby. That go ahead.
Yeah, baby.
No. Just hold on.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
You're breaking my heart. Oh, you.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, you can do. You can do that part where you scream too.
Okay.
This match, man. Come on. Give the people what they want.
I know.
Here it comes.
Chris, you're on.
Was that you?
Yeah.
Dude, come on. Yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, there you go.
That was you. On Cokes.
You do that part.
Yeah.
All right.
Beatles would have ended.
I forgot that song kicked ass.
Yeah.
I found a thing that says John and Paul and George liked the song and thought it was okay, but Ringo said it made him want to throw up in his ears.
Oh, no. It's like...
That's what it's... I'm looking at a little thing right now.
You may... Gene, it's funny because I had the same sort of thought and I do... Beatles is one of the things few things I know a lot about. There's a song for the Beatles called Chains that does
yes,
sound...
Yes, my baby's
like,
got me. Yep.
Chains. You know, lies.
This is a remake.
I think this is a cover.
A cover, sorry.
Yeah, this is on the
this
first
album. Motown song. Yeah. I don't know who these guys are, but they're no Knickerbockers. I mean, those guys rock. These guys are like... No reason to ever remake this song ever.
There you go.
That is the... If you want to know the kinds of songs I hate,
that's the one?
It. Yeah. All right. But I love the Beatles, of course. Todd Garner's going to call in. We'll do Rotten Tomatoes game. Take a quick break. We'll come right back and do Rotten Tomatoes right after this.
Adam Carolla is unprepared this weekend at the Brea Improv with special guest Adam Ray.
This is a fun one. Delusional.
Delusional. I do feel like that's something that's going around more and more these days. Maybe it started with pets. In the past, animals were pretty much either beasts of burden or we ate them. Either you got to pull my fat ass up this canyon side or I'm going to eat you. Or both. When you run out of gas dragging my fat ass up the side of this hill, then I'll eat you.
Four shows this weekend, two on Friday, two on Saturday. Live comedy sets from Adam and Adam. And then find out just how unprepared Adam Carolla is. Brea Improv, Friday night and Saturday night. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Blah, 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 nasally drone. Blah, 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 blah. Pay their fair share. Blah, 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 blah. Deep dive. Blah, 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 blah. Show up early and often. Blah, 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 blah. Pop Warner. Blah, 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 blah. Do we have an intro? Blah, 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 blah. We're going to take a quickie break. Blah, 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 blah. Bring it home, Gina. Blah, 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 blah. All right. Simply safe. Blah, 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 blah. Mahalo. Love the show. Bye.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Blah, 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 blah.
Why would you leave a voicemail for your own show? So silly.
Show notes.
Garner's on the Blower podcast, the producer's guide. Todd's a big-time producer. Todd?
Hello.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Thanks for having me on your program.
That was fun. That was fun. I could have gone on for another 2 hours, man. It was like just getting going.
I enjoy being guests on others' podcasts, for sure. Todd, by the way, Black Hawk Down, Con Air, XXX, Anger Management, Paul Blart, the whole franchise, Punch Drunk Love, Hellboy, Night and Day, Tag, so many great films. Had Piven in here the other day. He was a delight.
Oh.
And
featured in Black Hawk Down.
Yes. And anyone who can do old school and Black Hawk Down got a little range in the acting department with Piven.
Exactly.
Footnote, do yourselves a favor, everyone. Watch Black Hawk Down just for the cast. Like, back then, a lot of these guys weren't who they are today. And you'll see, like, Ty Burrell and Tom Hardy. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's chock-a-block full of, like,
Orlando
big names.
Orlando Bloom and, and then Eric Bana. It was a good
That's
one.
That's right.
You ready to play the game, Todd?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Listen to that noise. That's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Dozen names of flicks. And the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus 5.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
All right, so as you know, yesterday was Mother's Day. So to celebrate all the wonderful moms out there like Gina's.
Thank you.
And Brian's, who's here right now.
Yeah, she's lovely.
And I'm sure Todd has a wonderful mother.
Sure.
We're going to theme today's round off of famous movie moms.
Okay.
All right. Mm.
There are many marks of a good mom. Attentiveness, selflessness, and being able to tame a rock and roll star from miles away via payphone. Just like Frances McDormand did in 2000's Almost Famous.
Yeah, she was great. This was great.
She was great.
I know
this
what's
was
going
great.
On.
She's always great. I'll flip the analogy around. I don't think I would want to have a beer with Frances McDormand, but I would love to watch her work.
Okay. Wow, that's a compliment.
There you go.
Yeah, well said.
Yes, and then you guys just do the same math when it comes to politics. That's right. Get good, or anybody. Just get people. Now, once in a while, there's Maxine Waters. Like, I don't want to have a beer
both.
With her.
You want to do both.
And yeah. I don't want her
just
running anything, but she was great. All right. Everyone loved this film, but where are we at? You know, we 87, we 98. This could be 100. Mm-hmm. I mean, who didn't like this film?
Semi-autobiographical?
Yes. Okay.
We should let Todd go first.
Todd, go ahead. We're all locked in.
I'm going to go 87.
Mm-hmm. Ball Brian?
Yeah, this should be 100. It's a perfectly executed movie. It's sweet. It's funny. It's great. But I think it's a little lower. I went 90.
I went 91.
I went 92.
Almost Famous is certified fresh at 89%.
Wow.
How do we all dance around 89?
That was right around it. I think you even said it.
I may have said it. I got to listen to me. People had it 92.
Doing your best.
This is a high score, but why is this in the 80s?
Yeah, who has a problem with this movie?
In the 80s.
There's 166 reviews. That means 27 guys didn't like
it. That's crazy.
And who is that?
Again, there's nothing to not like about this movie.
And let's not forget, with Rotten Tomatoes, all you have to do is get to 60.
Right. Now,
that means, that to me means that 30 guys who reviewed this movie goes, no,
yeah, that's a thumbs down.
I'm not a C- with this. I'm not a C-.
You gotta stick to my guns.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
If a child is going through troubles with addiction, one would hope a mom would be there to help. One would also hope that mom wouldn't be a legendary boozer like Shirley MacLaine. And Carrie Fisher described Postcards from the Edge.
This could just be the gay man in me, but this is one of my favorite movies.
I think this is...
Oh, man.
It's
going to be divisive, I think.
I've seen the film. I can't remember all of it.
I'm at a big disadvantage. I've not seen it.
I remember that the critics... This is also one that the critics are probably going to inflate a little bit because it's like two quirky, strong women doing their thing. But that's also pre-empowerment.
Also autobiographical.
Yeah.
I think there's a bump for that.
There's a bump. There's a lot of bumps here, but boy, who knows? All right.
Todd, do you know who directed this?
I don't. Did Carrie Fisher write it?
She did.
She wrote the script.
Mm. So Mike Nichols directed it.
Oh.
Mike Nichols. So it's her.
Right.
It's her book and her script.
Right.
I think so.
Now I'm worried.
I think it's going to get dinged because it's Mike Nichols, because it's probably not as good as his other work, so they're probably going to ding it for that.
Mm.
And I don't think Carrie...
can't remember.
Carrie Fisher doesn't feel totally coherent to me, or didn't.
You don't think she remembered this accurately?
Well, I think she could write a book with somebody writing, a scribe, you know, writing it for her, and she's got funny stories and experiences, and how could she not? But sitting down really putting together a script without somebody else writing it feels weird to me. I'm nervous. I'm going to lock myself in. But everyone loves Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
All right, Todd.
I'm drawing blind on this one.
Do I go first again?
Yes, you always go first.
Oh, crap. 75.
I'm right there. I play it safe, 72, because I have no idea for this movie.
Gina Graham?
I might be just coloring it with how much I've always loved it. I said 83.
I wrote down 77. I scratched it out and wrote 72. All
right.
Postcards from the Edge is certified fresh at 87%.
Oh, man.
Dot. Damn it.
But look at the people.
66, yes. This got a whole bunch of bumps for a whole bunch of reasons.
It's really not a bad movie.
Yeah, they went the bump for the talent. Yep.
66 is fine.
It's not a 66 movie.
Well, let me ask you this. If you sat down and you watched Almost Famous, and then you watched this, would you say there's two percentage points that... separate the two?
Yeah, you have to ask Gina. She's only seen them both.
According to me, there's 6 points that separate the two.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. According to the people, this is a 66, and according to the people, Almost Famous is a 92. Yeah. So I tend to think this is...
inflated.
God damn it. I should have listened to myself. All right, here we go.
Speaking of Carrie Fisher, in this film, we meet her mother. No, not Debbie Reynolds. We're talking about the mother that gave birth to Leia and Luke.
Oh, no.
It's the first, or the fourth, in one of Adam's favorite franchises, 1999's Star Wars, The Phantom Menace.
Episode one, highly anticipated.
Okay.
It was.
I know.
What year?
1999.
Wow. Part of the reason.
Wow, the worst movie I've ever seen.
Remember 20 minutes ago when I rattled off 80 things about woodworking that you guys never heard of before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is part of the overall picture of not knowing jack squat about nonsense, which is this. See, you guys all know a ton more about this.
I've seen the sad movie several times.
But you don't know about woodworking because there's only so many hours in the day and only so much room on your hard drive. The difference between my knowledge of woodworking and your knowledge of Star Wars is I get to make money doing woodworking, whereas you pay for retarded figurines, number one. And then number two, yours has no practical application unless you enter a room with another group of like-minded losers and you can discuss this. I can actually, I'm putting baseboard up on an outdoor barbecue today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not beating off to a poster of a guy holding a flashlight. Okay, so mine has a more practical application.
Some now, might look, argue that, yes.
I'm sure there are ways you could turn a buck on beating off to the flashlight poster if you had enough Instagram followers or enough folks out of Germany who kind of dug what you did. But practically, if I had a wish for my son, I'd rather he do what I did with the outdoor barbecue and the baseboard than beating off to the guy with the flashlight.
Hey, that got the flashlights. Ewan McGregor from Black Hawk Down.
That's right.
All right. So this movie, and I don't mean to be condescending, and I'm not trying to be preachy or even say I'm better than you.
But
he doesn't have to.
All right.
This is truly one of the worst movies I've ever seen. It's a one-star movie for me.
Oh, boy.
But
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
Jar Jar. Oh, this
Jar Jar
is Jar Jar.
Debut.
Jar Jar. Oh, boy.
Princess Amidala.
There's a couple of good moments in this movie, but overall, it's a stinker.
Hold on, let me look.
Safe and pick a weird number because I know somebody's going to go one number more than me than one number other. I'm going to go 51.
Brian?
I'm going to go bold here and say that the critics, the nerds that they were in 1999, were blinded just by anticipation. And I'm going to go bold and say 70.
Oh, Brian, look at you leading us down that primrose path.
It's a terrible movie.
Zigging.
It's a terrible movie.
I know, but 70 is not, that's fresh.
Yeah. I wrote down 59 because I thought it was going to be just on the cusp of that bubble, but it's so bad. Mm-hmm. I said 55.
I was listening to Brian when he was talking and I just wrote 39 down.
Do
I panicked
that.
At the end.
Star Wars The Phantom Menace is rotten at 54.
Oh, nice. Needed that.
Wow, I was
good
off.
Guess.
Yeah. Jesus.
Gina might be leading.
Yeah, I think so.
I can't wait for you to fumble the goal line.
Always on the fourth movie, so let's all look alive.
Here we go. I think everyone's within striking distance in this particular case.
As every parent knows, kids can sometimes be difficult. But not all kids throw themselves out of a moving vehicle. That's what the great Laurie Metcalf had to contend with in 2017's Lady Bird.
Did you see this, Adam?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, in that kind of like Juno, Edge of 17, coming of age. What did you think?
I liked it. I don't need all the sort of baggage that goes along with it. Like, you know, this is a strong young girl who speaks her mind and it speaks truth to whatever. That part always bothers me. But it's a good movie. I didn't like it as much probably as Juno or maybe as much as Election, like those kinds of chick-driven school whatever movies. I always kind of compare movies to that. Also, we've talked about this one before. It does bother me sometimes when people are fucking horrible kids and we turn them into folk heroes. Like the mom's going like, I just want you to go to college. What's so wrong with that? You don't know me and you don't own me. It's like, fuck you, bitch. Like, your mom's concerned. I mean, from a kid whose mom was in a room with the door locked yelling, freak out. The notion of the mom like going, hey, why don't you wear this sweater? It's a personal thing. But like, when they're shopping for clothes, mm-hmm. and like the mom goes, you should wear this sweater. It's flattering to you. Oh, mom, come on. Get out of here. It's like, I don't know. That's a parent right. who's, yeah. who seems to care and is trying to help their kid. And maybe she, it is her opinion that this looks flattering yeah. on her or whatever it is. So I don't know why we turn these little cunts into folk heroes.
I think this was nominated for Best Picture, and there was a better version of this, a much better in my opinion, that came out the next year. Guys, did you guys see Eighth Grade?
Yes.
Eighth Grade was great.
It was great.
And it's the parent who's not like that. Like it was much more of a grounded, yep. less precious
Agreed.
Version.
And Brian, I don't know if you saw Edge of 17 with Hailee Steinfeld, but in this category of movies, I think that's the best one.
Hmm? All right. So this was Precious, pardon the precious pun, at the Oscars, and everyone loved it. But we didn't think it was that great a movie, but the critics are woke. Is this our last one?
It's fourth.
Fourth. All right. Well, Gina, you're going to be able to hang on to that lead on this one because you just go high, yeah. and we know the critics are high. But is it high going to make us angry high, or is it high? That's about right. I can probably guarantee that the audience will be lower than the critics on this one.
Yep.
If I know critics, I'm going to lock in my score. What do you got, Todd?
See, I unfortunately need to go last because I know the answer because it infuriated me.
Oh, recuse
now
yourself.
I'm angry. All right. I wrote 93.
I wrote 96, and I wouldn't be shocked if it was higher.
So I might have done a patented Gina move and tanked it because I thought I was being generous with 83.
Oh, no, Gina.
It's woke.
But it's not 100. That good.
The people have it at 83. The critics have it at 97.
All right.
Sorry.
Todd?
So I said 100 because it was 100 for a while. Annoyed me to no end.
Why, Todd?
I agree with you guys. I think it's one of those movies that just becomes bulletproof.
Right.
And it just, I don't know. It just, I don't think it was that high of quality. And I do think there are movies that have been done in the subject that are much better.
Would you guys agree with me before we give the score in my humble wish in life that if we applied the same system of criticism and percentages and whatever to restaurants, we'd all be miserable because we'd be eating at a restaurant going, I don't like this that much. Yeah, but you have to understand it's a super woke chef and the sign out front is made of hemp. Like, wouldn't we be upset if we took this and applied it to travel or restaurants or airports or lounges or anything else in life? Right. Okay, if we can all agree in that, then let's knock it off in this department as well. I would love it if we could just go, I'll bet the people have it exactly what the critics have. All right, sorry.
Well, there is at least one hero out there in the movie critic world because Lady Bird is certified fresh at 99%.
No, come on. This is Toy Story. This is 1% less than Toy Story.
I hope we're all sitting. I hope we're all sitting down. The people have it at 79, so quite a bit
there
less.
There you go.
And here's the thing with this movie. I got no problem with 79. 79 is fine. Yeah. So that's the kind of real score in this movie.
Yes.
Black Hawk Down would probably have one where the critics were lower than the people because the critics didn't like all the shooting of the poor brown people. But I don't know. I've never checked it out. But sometimes I can...
Savage.
76.
We've done Black Hawk Down, haven't we?
76 with the critics and 88 with the people. So I shouldn't be able to tell in advance which one is which. That's you're not really doing your job if I can tell in advance what direction it's going.
We got knocked by the critics on Black Hawk Down because the critics said they didn't know any of the guys well enough, which was exactly Ridley's point. He's like, well, every soldier is important. Why should I get to know that guy and not that guy? Right. And the critics didn't like that.
Joke's kind of on them.
Yeah, I'm with that. But you do a movie where you just gun down brown people all day long, you're gonna lose a couple of points.
You couldn't tell Dreamy Josh Hartnett from Dreamy Orlando Bloom.
That's right. All right, Gina's still in the catbird seat.
Yeah, but
here we
damn
go.
It.
Our final movie.
What'd you say on that one?
I said 83.
Oh, Gina,
which was apparently appropriate to the people.
Our final film
and generous
features one of the most famous cinema moms of all time, which is uniquely impressive, seeing that she's dead the whole movie. In 1998, Spoiler Gus alert. Van Sant Spoiler. Made a shot-for-shot remake and starred Adam's old neighbor buddy in it. The movie, Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, 1998.
Mm. Vince Vaughn. I never saw this. I think it was one of those.
You in America.
I heard enough.
Yeah.
Gina, this is problematic. It is, because for that last one, when you get into one of those ones like the last one, like Lady Bird, you just go, oh, I'll play it safe and just go 90. Right. And it'll be 95, it'll be 85, right. But you'll get in there. So, this remake could be 17, and it could be, I don't know, 50, 51. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if it was Vince Vaughn's good. Mm-hmm. Gus Van Sant's good. Like, maybe it's...
It was very hyped. He was hot. He had just come off of Good Will Hunting.
Brian, did you see this?
No.
It had to be tongue-in-cheek.
Parts of it.
Because everybody knows the story. It's very genuine. On the poster, it says, check and relax, take a shower.
It's very genuine.
Oh, wow.
Can I read the cast off for you, too? Just because it's pretty incredible. It's Vince Vaughn, Anne Heche, Julianne Moore, Viggo Mortensen, William H. Macy.
Damn.
Rita Wilson. Flea.
Sure.
All right.
All the luminaries.
Wow.
Michelle and Indeggio-cello.
How'd she make the list?
Big pull.
She played the bass.
That's right. Bass player.
Wow.
Short haircut.
Very short. Find a picture of Michelle and Indeggio Cello. Is that her last
name? Yeah. She did that that duet with John Mellencamp.
Ugh.
And she did If That's Your Boyfriend, He Wasn't Last Night.
All right.
No, Brian.
Hold on.
Let's see. All right. I like this because Gina's very vulnerable here.
Thank you. Everybody's
and
favorite.
Everyone else has to make kind of a big move. Okay.
Wait.
I'm locked in.
Okay.
Todd Garner?
30.
Right.
Yeah, I think I went too high at first.
Was savaged. I don't remember how. It was bad, but I don't know how bad.
I may have gone too high at 35.
Oh.
I went 27.
I could have lost it.
Ooh.
I tried to protect my lead, and I really thought I was in the right place. 11.
Oh, you're too low a swing.
Let's see.
I don't think it's that.
Psycho is rotten at 38.
Oh,
you needed that badly.
Good night,
why
everybody.
Why don't you just stay in the middle?
Know.
I told you it could be 11 and it could be 55. You got to go to 125.
No, you didn't even say 11. You said 17.
Or seven.
Then I went below that.
I said it could be 17.
I know.
It could be 51 or something.
I know.
That wasn't in that range.
You go 35. You go in the middle.
I don't know. You didn't listen to yourself a lot in this game, so I think I took your advice.
All
fudge.
Right.
We should all watch Psycho.
Okay. Just leave me off. I'm too embarrassed.
This is going to be very curious.
I screwed up bad.
Bald Brian.
Yeah.
Coming in.
Three in the last one.
With a score of 38.
Really good.
Not bad.
I lost.
We do have a tie.
Mm.
However, that tie is for last place.
Yeah.
And both of you are in the room. Adam and Gina tied at 50.
Oof.
Bald Brian, it is time to say congratulations to Todd. With 26, Todd Garner.
Wow. Todd always crushes.
The Rotten Tomatoes
game. The guy who could be sitting in front of Rotten Tomatoes right now.
No, I got to come in and do it. I'm getting this bad reputation. This is my job, so I'm happy to come in next time.
It's unofficial when you're not here, so.
I also.
You got it. I'll take it.
Todd has dignity because Todd did know or said out loud that he knew Lady Bird.
Yeah. And
then he was off by one.
And he went last, and we could have benefited from what he knew.
Yeah, but we had to because he knew. Congratulations, Todd.
Ugh.
Thank you. I'm coming in next time.
The Producer's Guide. It's a podcast. I think I'm on the latest episode. Is that
correct? Yes, you are, sir. Thank you again.
Thank you. And Thursdays on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts as well. And shoot him a tweet at Todd_Garner. Thanks, Todd.
Congratulations.
Thank you, guys. Thanks.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do.
Dumb game.
We're looking at a picture of Michelle and Indeggio Cello.
There she is, playing the high bass.
Playing the high bass. I like that Todd knows his business. Yeah. That's his business.
He better
business
know.
Is movies. And I like that he's like we are, which is I hate it when movies become precious and then they get that inflated score and
Speaking of inflated scores, what is the score of 8th grade? You can stream 8th grade on Amazon Prime Video right now. Listen, 99%. Just like Lady Bird.
Well, and maybe it deserves it.
I loved 8th grade.
I watched about, I was on a flight. I was coming back from like D.C. It was one of our usual, you know, go back to hotel room at 12:30 and meet in the lobby at 5:15. So it's like everything's a little fuzzy at that point. But I think I watched about the first 45, 50 minutes of it, and I found it enjoyable. And
not precious. It's not. No, it was
a slice of life, and it's not boring.
It was interesting. Like it didn't move at any real clip, and there wasn't a lot going on. But the whole thing about interest. Interest is like a logo. You know, you go, that works. I like that logo. That one doesn't. I don't like that one. Why not?
Just doesn't.
I don't know.
Your interest is one of those things where it's like you're half hour in and you go, oh, I'm going to watch the next half hour. Or you're half hour in and you go, I'm done. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that there's any rules or set rules or criteria for it. You tap me on the shoulder half hour in and ask me if I want to continue watching this or watch something else because you're on an airplane and they have 130 movies and it's easy just to go, well, seen enough. But eighth grade
held your interest.
Held me, but it didn't make me go, this is a great piece of cinema. It just made me go, I wanted, if the flight was a half hour longer, I would have finished it.
And I just want to say to Brian, because I remember you really seemed to like this movie, I just watched The Favorite.
Oh, yeah,
oh my
good.
God, great
Favorite's
movie.
Really good.
There's nothing about the subject matter that, oh, it's a queen and it's a period piece.
It's not
a
that kind of movie.
No, not at all. It's great.
Yeah.
All right, let me hit Castrol Edge, then we'll break and do some news. Castrol Edge, heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown, rob your engine, maximum performance. Friction results in loss performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms under pressure. I'm going to do this next one with a hand from a woman who's redefining what beauty is in her own way. It's three times,
fool.
Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. It's Castrol Edge. Brea is coming up this Friday, Saturday. I'll be out there with Adam Ray. I'll be doing stand-up and Unprepared. And Adam's going to be doing stand-up. He's going to be featuring, which is a euphemism for opening, I think. Although you're not supposed to say that out loud, but I'm excited because he's going to open for me, and then I'm going to do some stand-up, and then he's coming back up, and he's going to pull them ping pong balls. So that'll be this Friday, Saturday, early show, late show, and Denver Comedy Works and all that stuff. Not Taco Bell material. 9.1 on IMDb.
Wow. The greatest movie of all time.
The greatest movie of all time, according to IMDb, because there's nothing over an hour that's better than 9.1 on IMDb.
We should look up Lady Bird and 8th grade on IMDb.
7.4.
Or The Godfather. Your favorite movies of all time. They do not crack 9. So thank you for that. Enjoy that at Chassis, 2 S's and Y, or Amazon or iTunes, and write a review. I love reading them. All right, quick break. Back with the news right after this.